title of our lesson tonight is called Fear Not, which I think is very important in today's society. If you would, please take your Bible, and we're going to look at Psalm 56 and verse 3 shortly, though you don't have to go there quite yet. But the words fear not are much easier said than done. Thinking about the book of Isaiah, chapters 40 and 41, it talks about the greatness of God and the weakness of man. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Verse 13 says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Many have committed Isaiah 40:31 to memory. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But in Psalm 56, verse 3, we find these simple words. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid. Many are fearful today. You can see it as you walk toward them on the sidewalk. They wonder if you're the one. In fact, if you're driving, it seems, and they make eye contact with you, there's almost a fear. Could you be the one who has the virus, and I have to be fearful of you? The other day, my wife and I went to one of the local do-it-yourself places, and we got there, and a woman met us at one door, and she says, "Well, go down to that door." And we had to wait almost 20 minutes to get inside to make a purchase, as they were only allowing 30 people into the store at a time. Fear, concern. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Lord, we thank you that during the time in which we can be afraid, we can go to you, ask for your direction, your encouragement, your peace of mind. Lord, give us peace of mind even tonight as we look into your scriptures and we think about some thoughts. And Lord, thank you for being with us through this time. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. The object of our trust for the believer is the Almighty Lord. We can have confidence in the one we trust. I will trust in thee. When shall I trust? That time that I am afraid. And fear will come. A number of years ago, Donna, the boys, and I went to a restaurant for dinner. Not to name it, but it was located in front of the old Frank's nursery. In fact, it's still there. The hostess took us to a table and said someone would be with us soon. We had been sitting there for 15 or 20 minutes, and no one had come. Being a Mexican restaurant, we thought they would at least bring us a basket of chips with salsa. But we continued to wait. Now, I'll be honest with you, waiting is not my cup of tea. In fact, after a few minutes, I'm sure I began to suggest to Donna that, well, I think we ought to leave. And I'm sure that after my saying we ought to leave, she probably said, "Paul, just calm down." Finally, the people at the table next to us felt sorry for us and gave us their second basket of chips. Let me ask you, in today's world, would you take a basket of chips from the table beside you? Boy, today we would run almost in horror. But then, well, thank you. We were hungry. May I say this? We are being told that we need to have social distancing, fear-mongering is alive and well, and one would even say flourishing. What can you believe? Who can you believe? It's so hard. Our president kind of fussed at certain radio stations and news networks for giving out false news or fake news, saying shame on them. And yet some would rather have people listening than really give out the truth. We find these words in Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. After these things. Now, Abram, as you know, would later have his name changed to Abraham. But after these things, Abram had been instructed to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to the land of Canaan. His nephew Lot would go with them. And you may remember the story that the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot began to have, some struggles with each other. They both were searching for the land to feed their flocks. And finally, Abram said to Lot, "You go one way and I'll go to the other," and vice versa. And so Lot said, "Okay." And he headed towards the well-watered plains of Jordan, towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 14, we read that Lot was taken captive by an invading army. And when Abraham got the news, he went after him, retrieved him, and brought him back. And upon bringing him back, he meets Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the high priest of the Lord. And it was here that the tithe was instituted, the tithe of bringing money to the Lord of 10%. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not." Have you ever thought about this, that at a very, very young age, we decide that we don't want to disappoint our parents? You ponder that thought for a moment. Number one, we don't want to disappoint God. I mean, that's a fearful thought, that we would disappoint the Lord. But it begins with that we don't want to disappoint our parents. Then we don't want to disappoint grandparents. You know, those people that come by and spoil us. As one of our former deacons said, if he'd known having grandkids was so good, he'd have had them first. But you don't want to disappoint your parents. You don't want to disappoint your grandparents. Then you don't want to disappoint your teachers. Do you remember your teachers? I remember Mrs. Winderhowski was my second grade teacher. Can you imagine being in second grade and having to say Winderhowski? I had had Miss LeCure, and I knew in third grade I had Miss Black. She was my first crush. I remember thinking the world of her. And man, the last thing I'd ever want to do is disappoint Miss Black. And then we don't want to disappoint coaches. You're on some team and you're playing hard and you don't want to disappoint your coaches. You don't want to disappoint your bosses. Do you remember that first boss you had, maybe working in a restaurant or a fast food store? Maybe you got hired to clean someone's yard or barn or garage and you didn't want to disappoint. Then you didn't want to disappoint your pastor. You know, there's something about a pastor, the person that is teaching you the word of God, and you don't want to do something that is disappointing to him. You don't want to disappoint your mate. You know, you get married and you betroth yourself and you give yourself to that one and you promise them that you'll love and cherish them and you don't want to disappoint them. And the next thing is you don't want to disappoint your kids. And as a kid, you remember not wanting to disappoint your parents, and now you don't want to disappoint your kids. Sometimes I think about my dad and the fact that he was my dad. He was my pastor and he was my boss. And sometimes it was a struggle because I was trying to keep those three people separated as I worked there for the church. Disappointment. Well, can we disappoint the Lord? Can we disappoint our Lord and Savior? Should I be afraid that I would do that? For the fear of the lost one, though, is something that we should fear. Because we fear that one that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, thinking that if they were to pass away, they would spend eternity in hellfire. And that's something we should fear. Oh yes, the virus is something that is striking fear in the hearts of many people today, but we need to fear disappointing our Lord. We should fear disappointing our Lord as Peter did when Jesus said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." I am amazed at how many people have talked about the fact that the Lord has sent a wake-up call. That we have drifted too far from him. I read an article that said at some point in time, a holy God will have to bring judgment against sin. And some have said, is that what is happening now? That he has brought judgment against us to warn us that we have drifted? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to offend our Lord? Again, ponder the words of the Lord that we find in John chapter 12, verse 43. "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." How many times people do things trying to impress people, but not trying to be, what shall we say, one that is faithful to their Lord, desiring for him to be pleased with us. In Romans 1:24, these words, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between them." He gave them up. It would be a terrible thing for the Lord to say of this society, 2020, "I have no more patience." Again, in Romans 1, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." We find that there are many today in this world that are not interested in pleasing the Lord, only in pleasing self, only in pleasing themselves, maybe their family. I have been talking to a number of pastors over the last few days, and each and every one of them has brought up this fear that came and people running to the stores and buying bulks of toilet paper and all the cleaning products one can imagine, as they only desired to please themselves and not have faith in the Lord. James chapter 3 talks about the uncontrolled tongue. It says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasting great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." The tongue. The tongue can get us into trouble. And the tongue today of many has spread lies and rumors and things that are more fearful than good. It's disappointing to our Lord. Our Lord is disappointed when we allow the love of money to take control of our lives, causing us to err from the faith, piercing ourselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Someone has well said that we have forgotten God, and God said, "Fine, I'll make it so you don't have any sports." We have forgotten God, and he says, "Fine, I'll take away your theaters, and I'll take away your movie houses, and I'll take away your places of entertainment." We have forgotten God, and he's made it so that we can't go to the malls, and we can't do these things because, well, we have forgotten God. And now maybe we need to remember that we do serve a God who, it says in the Old Testament, is a jealous God, who doesn't want us to put other things in front of him, that he should be number one in our lives. Paul warned Timothy to tell the rich that they trust not in uncertain riches. Many have seen money that they have invested dwindle, and many are concerned about the future. But ever ponder the thought that we're disappointed in some things, but our Lord is disappointed also? Disappointed. Someone has well said that we need to live like our dogs think we are. That we should live good, clean, right lives, honoring the Lord. Paul warns us to spiritually not be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Folks, there are so many people that are addicted to things in our society today. They have become to the point where that these things control their lives. We've all come up to the stoplight or the stop sign, and someone has to look at their phone real quick, not thinking how long it will take them. And you toot their horn at them, and it's like they have a moment and they can't help themselves. They become entangled. And there's so many that are entangled with things today. The writer of Hebrews writes, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We don't want to disappoint our Lord. It's that of which we should be afraid. We could go on and on, but it should be our desire to live good and godly lives. And yes, sometimes when we are put up against evil people, we desire to have our own way. But the fact of the matter is we need to be praying that the Lord's will be done. Asking that, Lord, during this time that some have called an inconvenient time, that we should be praying that the Lord's will be done. That he would bring revival back to America. May I say that revival is what is needed in America today. That the church of God preach the word of God. And that people desire to see Christ in us. We should have a desire to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done." Do you remember when you gave a picture to your parents that you had made in school? And you were listening for those words. "Good job. Well done." You liked that, didn't you? You liked it when the boss said to you, "Good job." Well, when we stand before the Lord, what a blessing it will be to have him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we know that many are fearful of things that are going on, but you have told us that we can trust in you. And Lord, maybe be concerned, though, that we have been a disappointment. May we live our lives, Lord, in a right and proper way. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.